Here comes our hero. Jerry Reynolds will be with us 4:30. Drive, guys. No Kyle Draper today. Drapes is flying to Los Angeles with the Kings. They were supposed to leave about 2. It's possible we'll hear from Drapes later in the show. He had mentioned that. He didn't seem very sincere, Jay, to be honest with you. I don't think we're going to hear from him.
Well, I'm going to make him.
He's the one that brought it
up. Pull his card. Yeah, I'm going to hold him to it. But I think, you know, once you get down to Los Angeles, you just lose all track of time. And
that's not all you lose down there if you're Kyle Draper.
That's cold blood, dear brother.
Where's your wallet?
Where's my wallet?
You should probably just go to the police station, right? Hey, yeah, Kyle Draper. I was here. Last time I was here, I lost my wallet at the beach. Is it turned up?
That thing's gone.
I know. It is unfortunate. It's funny how there's two reactions. People either are like, oh, like I was talking to G-Man. Mm-hmm. Hey, did you hear Drapes lost his wallet? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's terrible. Or like everybody on the chat, like, ha, ha, ha. Isn't that kind of, you know, it's not very compassionate.
No, it's not. It's tough, especially. And that's the thing, like Drapes was saying this yesterday. It's not just ATM and credit card and all that, you know, the ID. It's the other stuff. And that's it's almost annoying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're living in times where you kind of have to have some type of identification for everything. And, you know, he mentioned Costco. You know, Costco is trying to crack down on, you know, making sure your picture matches and like all these different things. And so, I hate to be where he's at, when it comes to the wallet situation. But, I mean, look, he's a big boy. He's going to have to handle it.
By the way, speaking of Costco, I tweeted Chuck Swirsky and I asked him,
uh-oh,
what kind of toppings do you like on your Costco pizza? We haven't heard back.
Well, you know, they used to have the Supreme over at Costco pizza.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they used to have the Supreme. They no longer have it. Now it's just pepperoni and cheese. Those are all the two you can offer.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Steven joins us on Sackdown Sports. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Now you got me thinking about Costco pizza, man. I might have to make a run to that White Rock spot after work.
Got a boy.
There you go. Yeah.
Man, hey, that Supreme pizza was top-notch, top shelf.
It was.
They need to bring it back. I am no lies there. All right. I've been saying this for a long time, and I know I'm going to help segue you guys into that three-point conversation, okay? So what do we got left besides a three-point shot? I get that we are a three-point shooting team. That's how our offense is built. It's surrounded by three-point shooters. But when we're not shooting the three, what else do we got? Because it doesn't look like there is anything else. My man TC was out here preaching gospel earlier, okay?
Yes, that's what he does.
I really, really, really agree with him on that, man. The moment that the three doesn't hit, we need to start driving the basket. We need to start making these guys feel us, because obviously if we're gonna sit there and just spray threes all day long, they're not feeling us enough, you know. And I really feel like our presence needs to be felt. So stop shooting. If the three ain't hitting, we need to switch it up. We really, really, really do. And I just don't feel like we have the personnel that can do that. So Monty, ball's in your court, bud.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steven. Yeah, I know Coach Brown last night, he said, we didn't stick to the game plan. We never want to pass up an open three. Trey Lyles was the guy that passed up some open threes. No one called him out by name, of course. All right, here's Mike Brown explaining. Well, we'll get to it in just a second here. Here are the numbers while we line up Coach Brown. Sacramento, and this is from Frankie Cardicelli. Sacramento, when shooting 35% or better from the three-point line, they're 27-9. Sacramento, when shooting worse than 35% from the three-point line, they're 7-17. 35% or better, 27-9. Under 35%, 7-17, which speaks to how much the Kings rely on the three ball. Here's Coach Mike Brown.
You know, we weren't rhythm the entire game from the three-point line, and we missed some that we probably would have made. And so more than anything else, you know, if we're turning the ball over and it's messing with our rhythm a little bit from the three-point line, especially late, then maybe that's the case. I know we turned down a couple of threes late in the game, and we don't ever want to turn down threes. We turn them down and tried to drive the basketball, and that's not who we are. So when that ball does get sprayed to you or swung to you and you're wide open, you got to let it fly, you know.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, again, Trey Lyles was the one that passed up a three or so
yeah.
in the fourth quarter. He was 1-for-6 last night in the game from the three-point line. So the team strategy is to matter. You still got to let it fly. What else do the Kings have? I think there's an easy answer to that, ideally. Ideally, the Kings also, you know, Monty McNair mentioned after the trade deadline, says we want to push pace. So that's another way to score. Especially with teams playing a little more zone on the Kings, you get the ball, you rebound, you get out and you run, and you get easy baskets in transition. That's probably the best. That's the most basic thing in basketball, and it should be a staple of the Kings offense. However, last night, this was also interesting. We talked to Chuck Swirsky yesterday, a Bulls announcer. We talked to Bill Wennington. They said, oh yeah, the Bulls don't like to get out and run. No. They like to slow things down. Fast break points, Bulls 12, Kings 8. So...
dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kings got outrun by the Bulls last night.
Which is amazing. It's amazing to hear that. And you've seen it, though. Like, when it really mattered, like I said, Kobe White jumped out there. DeMar had a few. Phillips was moving and grooving a little bit. And it's just interesting. It's just interesting to hear what, you know, every single Bulls announcer said yesterday to you guys. Like, listen, this team plays slow. They play slow. They like to muck it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not what they did 100%.
Right. 12's not a ton of fast break points, but it's more than 8.
Not. Yep. Yeah. They outlasted what the Kings did. How about that?
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. John on Sacktown Sports. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I think I can sum up most of the Kings' problems in one word.
Really?
And if it's already been addressed, then I apologize for the repeat. It's been kind of danced around. Now, last year's team did not do this, okay? And that's, to me, that's what's the most frustrating. This year's team gets very, very complacent.
Mm.
You ever notice that? Last night was a case in point. They're up by how many points? 14. And then that team was back in the Bulls are back in the game. You know, I could elaborate for days on this, but I think you know exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'll take your response off the air. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, thank you very much.
Why'd he help me out again? What the word he
complacent?
Used? Complacent.
Yeah,
thank
biggest
you.
Lead last night. By the way, the Kings' biggest lead was 22.
Two. Yeah.
Complacent just means, you know, that I'm good. We're fine.
Yeah, I didn't hear him because I was answering phones. So sure. I apologize on that.
Oh, yeah, no, that's all right. Yeah. It's not the word I would use, but I see where he's going.
Is this team complacent, though?
There's some. If it's not that, it's something very much like that. They just look so – they just lose focus. They lose a sense of what they need to do sometimes when they have a lead.
I guess I didn't have an opportunity to, you know, rebuttal John because I was back here on the side working, but I guess my question to complacent is – how could they possibly be in that situation? Like, they haven't done anything, accomplished anything, won anything. Like, why would they be complacent?
Well, speaking for John, if I may,
yes.
I think that's the
problem.
That
sounds familiar probably to you, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, they play sometimes like, oh, we're good. We did this. We lit the beam last year, and we were 3 seed, and
you
here we are.
You think so?
Well,
I don't get that. I don't get the fact that they go ho-hum sometime. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, look, I know there are lapses. That's not what I'm saying. But complacency to me is like...
it doesn't quite hit the mark for me either.
No.
I understand it's close, and there's something like that going on. Because I think you're talking about complacency, kind of a sense of entitlement.
Yes.
And I don't...
Yeah.
That's not really what I see going
on.
No,
I don't see that from the Kings, and I don't hear that from them. I don't... And I don't have the proper word because we've been trying to figure this out for months now, but I don't see them full of themselves or entitled or, you know, like I don't sense an ego from the Kings. And it may be almost a bad thing. Like, we're kind of looking for the bravado, you know, from the from this team.
What's the word for having no swagger? Swagger? Yeah, swaggerless?
Yeah, they don't have no sauce, man.
Yeah.
They don't.
In many too different often at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, what's funny is there's times, and we saw it Friday.
Exactly.
Where Malik, I mean, saucy.
Yep.
I mean, he's, as Drake said, he's got a little skip to him. He's got that look to him. He, you know, them shoulders are high. Like, he has that. And some every now and then, you'll see that with particular individuals on this team. You know, Domas will bump on somebody, and, you know, you'll see it a little bit. He'll you know, show a little tenseness and intensity. Mm-hmm. You'll see, you know, other guys like that on this team, but I don't see the complacency in there.
Not quite.
No,
John, I know where you're going. It's not quite the word I would use, but you're like, right. There's something not right.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, and we'll see if we can figure out what we think that word is. Jerry Reynolds coming to us. He's going to join us bottom of the hour. We're going to look at the Kings and Lakers tomorrow night, and we'll get back to the phones when we come back. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Tough one last night, but a big one tomorrow night. Kings and the Lakers. Kyle Draper not with us today. The Kings flying to Los Angeles today. Man, that rivalry is going to be back on tomorrow night. Jerry Reynolds is going to join us bottom of the hour. It's Whitey and Jay today. Caller John just said he could sum up the Kings in one word. His word was complacent. So some other people on the chat coming up with their one word to describe the Kings this season. Jay's answering a call right now. I want to wait for him just a second because I want to see what he thinks of these words. Jay, what do you think of these one words to describe the Kings? We have inconsistent. We have roller coaster, which is technically two, but we'll
That's two. Come on now.
Yeah, and we have Viagra. Which is something about, well, you can guess.
What yeah, you got to get a little stiff there. I get it. I will say this. Inconsistent is, I mean, that's the common sense one, right? Like, that's common sense. They're very inconsistent. Roller coaster, two words, will still entertain it. Absolutely, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Coaster.
Coaster, exactly. And credit coaster type situation. It's all one.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, of course it's a roller coaster. Like I said, man, this is Six Flags. You know, the Sacramento Kings are Six Flags. Take your pick. Whatever you want to walk in there and ride.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Sacramento Kings are.
Tower of Terror?
You know, it's no longer called that. It's called Guardians of the Galaxy. Last time you've been to Disney there, brother.
Well, I know, but still, it's been more like a Tower of Terror than a... Because Guardian, they don't guard anybody. I think tomorrow night's going to be a very special night, though. I think we're all in for an unforgettable ride tomorrow night. I hope. The one word I would use is, for me, it's frustrating. This team is
absolutely
very frustrating.
I mean, every single game, there's something to be frustrated, even when there are wins. And, you know, we started this show with saying yesterday, and I didn't, you know, maybe bad job by me. Maybe I could have pre-warned everyone here on the Drive Guys.
No, you're right. You knew what would happen if you tried.
Exactly. Because yesterday, Drape said he didn't want to hear about all the negativity and, you know, how they won the game against the Timberwolves and, you know, Kings fans, we ought to be happy and have glass full, put our purple shades on, put our Prince color shades on. I get it. But, and I, what was it, Folsom Mike said it yesterday. It was a great win, good win against Minnesota, albeit. No Anthony Edwards in the second half. I know we didn't have De'Aaron Fox. But at the same time, Malik Monk won that game single-handedly at the end. You can't sustain good basketball.
Not repeatable, huh?
It's not, man. It's not. I mean, and not as a team. Now, Malik, for sure, because he's done it numerous times. But he's also, you know, not a starter. And I know he finishes the game. But he also doesn't have the opportunity, you know, every single game to come out and score, what, 37 or whatever, 18 in the fourth or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, excuse me, all but 4 points in the second half, which he did Friday. Like, that's incredible.
It is. Soft suggested on the text line. Irresolute, which I guess that's the opposite of being resolute.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. It's just not that. You don't hear that described much in basketball conversations.
Him and Mark Jones be reading out the same books. I get it.
The Kings are so irresolute.
You know what, man? Real quick, yesterday I was watching a repeat, I believe, of OKC and Phoenix from Sunday, and I think Mark Jones was on it.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there watching the game, and Mark, man, Mark, he's diabolical with the verbiage, man. Like, his diction is crazy sometimes. Like, every now and then there's a, you know, and I feel like I'm well-versed in the language game, but sometimes he has a word or two. It's like, what, Mark?
Yeah. Well, didn't his brother tell us that their dad was like a professor
yes.
or something?
They used to like, Mark used to dive into the, you know, these type of books and dictionaries and everything like that. So, Paul Jones, shouts out to him. Friend of the show.
Yes. Rich joins us on Sackdown Sports. Rich, do you have one word for us to describe these Kings?
Well, it's a little bit more than one word, but it's a concept that without question is true. The Kings do not have the dog in them.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody comes in your house, punches you in the mouth, takes your lunch, and walks out over and over again. And Mike Brown goes to the podium and he praises the other team. In other words, again, I'm not picking on Mike, but Mike, turn the mirror and talk what you got to do. You can't keep coming up with the same weak praise for the other team stomping you. You knew what they were going to do. They packed the middle. You know all this stuff. And the fact that they do it after you know this, it's either poor coaching or you don't have the talent. It's one or the other or both. It can't be anything else by deduction.
Right.
Can't happen. Yeah, so in other words, it's either the coaching or the talent, but either way, we got a problem.
Okay, thank you, Rich. Here's my thinking. If, you know, and they have talent on the roster.
Sure.
It's not a perfect roster, but they have talent. But I think they don't have the type of talent Mike Brown would like. He's preaching, you know, defense first, and this is not a defense first team. So here's my point. If you're Mike Brown, and if you feel like, I don't have the players that I would like to have to play the way I like to play, you can't say that. And if he just continues publicly to belittle his players for their lack of defense, you know, what's he going to gain? So that's why, and I know I mentioned this earlier, Rich, it drives me crazy when they lose games like this and everybody says the same, that we got to be better. We go, oh boy, we tip of the cap to them, we got to be better. But I just think at this point, there's just a lot more to it that they're not saying. And while I understand why they're not saying that, that's frustrating too.
Yeah, I think
I want to hear it.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of the fans are coming in. Why we've been saying it all day is, and you started this show with it, is like, look, give me something different.
Yeah.
We understand this team is very flawed, I think, at this point. And if you don't, you're kidding yourself. And as Rich said, you know, there are some discrepancies when it comes to talent, especially when you start to play some of this top flight talent in the Western Conference and throughout the NBA, the Bostons, the Milwaukee's, teams like that. Philadelphia is who you lost to without Joel Embiid, I should put. But I do think there is something what Rich and you are saying, Whitey, is this. We tired of that same message. Like, as a Sacramento King fan, I can't help but listen to what other fans are saying and be in this position that we're in and not relay that message. And so it's great to have callers like Rich. It's great to have guys like TC Checkit.
Yeah.
It's great to have Wills,
yes,
you know, part of this game. Because just what Rich said is – it holds true. Like, Mike probably wants to say a few different things and other people within that building.
Like the cut you just played of him, where you can tell he's trying so hard not to say what he's thinking. Yeah, exactly. I agree with that completely. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And again, that's not to put it all on the players. It's not, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around here. It's just if you're the coach and you don't have the team that can play the way you want to play, I think that's one of the things that leads to some of the runs that they are not able to stop, the leads that are blown. It's not a very good defensive team. And in my opinion, if you have a team that doesn't defend, every game is like a box of chocolates. Good luck. Who knows where you're going to end up? Vinny on Sackdown Sports. Hey, Vinny, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Hey, I'll tell you guys what I think and what I'd be thinking if I was on the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some people in the starting lineup, Kyle Herter, speakingly, most notably, that does not play defense, that doesn't play quality defense. And my frustration is you have a guy like Malik Monk who balls out against Minnesota. He brings energy every time he gets. There's a stat that was read the other day when Malik Monk scores over 20 points a game, the Kings are, you know, have a better winning percentage. And I'm pretty much, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm sure he didn't get his 20 last night. From life of me, I do not know why he's not starting. I mean, to get more out of him, why not put him in a starting position? And when guys aren't living up to their expectations, why not sit him? You can't have a defensive mentality and you reward people that don't play defense, or you're seen as holding somebody back. I don't know if Malik's contract in the future has something to do with it. If he starts so many games or whatever, he's going to get paid. But it really looks like they're stalling him out. And things don't happen naturally when you play like that. You need to play your best five. There's enough times and enough possessions in the game to get see what Malik's going to give you. Sit him down early if he's not. But he brings the energy every day. And if you're not rewarding him, I don't know what's going on. And I imagine that sentiment echoes throughout the team and kind of chips away at the coach's accountability of holding people accountable.
Thank you, Vinny. I'm going to tell you something about Malik that people don't like to talk about. Malik's incredible, yeah. And I sure hope he stays. If he doesn't stay, and it's going to be basically up to him. The Kings have an X amount they can offer him.
4 for $85. Yeah. Let's start putting that out there. $4 for $85 is what they can give him.
Okay, yeah. And hopefully he'll stay, and I pray, you know, that that would be terrific if he does. If he leaves, you could understand that. But I appreciate the energy he brings when he comes off the bench. He's not a great defender either. He's not. You make a great point. If you want to preach defense and be defense first, why are you starting a guy that isn't a great defender in Kevin Huerter? You got to start somebody.
Man.
There's not a lot of great perimeter defenders on the team. Some of the guys that lean towards being better defenders don't give you that much offensively. It speaks to the, you know, the roster construction. All right? And now, you know, people are going to say, oh, you're going after Malik. I think Malik is tremendous. In some ways, he's the best leader on the team.
I think he is.
And he proved last year he's a better point guard than people imagine. But he's not a great defender, which is one reason he doesn't start. And he's so valuable coming off the bench. I know a lot of people ask that question, Vinny. And as long as Malik's here not starting, people are going to ask that. I understand why he's not starting. I think it makes sense. But it is a good point that at some point you may have to do something that is an option you have available to you. Malik is tremendous. Man, that's the last thing. Malik leaving is the last thing this team needs.
Agree.
Yeah. All right. We've got Jerry Reynolds coming up. Yeah, take one more. All right, Jerry coming up first. Back to the phones we go. Jeremy spoke in class today, and he speaks now on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Jeremy. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate you being everybody's counselor today.
Yes, thank you. It works two ways, so thank you. It works both ways. Thank you.
I do think that we do kind of have to stay glass-half-full mentality because we had, you know, 16, 17 years without even making playoffs. So,
yep.
But that being said, Mike Brown needs to have a little bit of accountability, in my opinion. I think that his post-game talk or interview or whatever last night, I mean, he was kind of fumbling. I think maybe it was James Hamm or something. They asked him about what was the strategy at the end of the game. With we are going to foul, something like that. He was asking for help from the reporters in the crowd, you know. So that's one thing. We were just talking about with the defense, you know, if you don't have the personnel, then you can't be a defensive team. We outscored people last year. We had an identity. It was offense. You know, that's what we have. If you get defensive players, then you can play defense. But a good coach needs to use whatever players he has and come up with the best game plan. Also, there's one other point. Sorry, it's kind of long-winded. But we had, I think, 3 or 4 turnovers out of timeouts last night.
That's not good, Jeremy.
That's just bad.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So that's it. Have a great day. I'm going to try to stay happy. I was
there you go.
Pretty pissed last night. But, you know, like it's better than 2 years ago.
Exactly. Well said. With you on that 100%. Jerry Reynolds, and don't worry about a thing. Jerry Reynolds joins us. He's going to explain everything when he joins the Drive Guys next year on Sacktown Sports. Tomorrow night, we got the Kings and the Lakers. Big game. Kyle Draper on his way to L.A. They probably arrived by now for the game tomorrow. So it's Whitey and Jay today, and nice enough to join us now. Boy, it always takes me 10 minutes just to go through everything he's done for the Kings. Former Kings coach, general manager, director of player personnel and TV analyst. just to name a few.
Legend.
Yeah, absolutely. Kings icon, Jerry Reynolds. How are you today, Coach?
You know, not good, not good. I'm still pouting from last night, mm-hmm. you know, just to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I just really enjoyed you talking to some fans, and I'm a fan. That's what I am, and I was just thinking, you know, kind of reminds me of being in the eighth grade, you know, and all of a sudden the class hottie flirts with you a little bit on Monday, and you're just sky high, and then on Tuesday you see her walking down the hall with a ninth grader, and you know, it's like, damn, there you are, and so that's kind of how I took it, you know.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I mentioned Jerry texted me this morning, and it was an angry face emoji. That's what that red angry face emoji is, the one that he sent me. Jerry, were you I was dismayed last night by their lack of execution late game. Was that something that you watching that? Were you a little surprised by that?
Well, a little. I mean, although that's been a little, when you really look at their bad losses, that's almost been a consistency, mm-hmm. is that they haven't been very efficient down the stretch of games. And I've always thought, you know, just, and I've second guessed this before, you know, is that I just wish, you know, late game situations, I don't think has changed much since 1980. In the last 6 minutes of the game, it gets more physical. Refs let more stuff go, and you've got to work harder for your shots. And I think when you look at the more elite teams, they have more need plays or situations they go to. And I think that the Kings, to their credit, they've got a couple of guys who are great creators late, like Fox and Monk. But there again, you know, I just think they need more ways, you know, ways of getting Keegan Murray a shot, ways of getting more guys, you know, when the ISOs really aren't effective, have something you feel like you can really go to get more people involved.
Legend, I'm going to stay right there because you, as Whitey introduced you, you've held every single cap there is in basketball. And so with that being said, the out-of-bounds play last night where De'Aaron overshot Malik Monk, one of the things I thought was the spacing just didn't look right. And we all know the pressures of, you know, inbounding, or we don't all, but if you've been in that position, you know, sometimes it can be a hot potato situation. But what did your eyes tell you on that out-of-bounds play?
Well, I didn't look like they really were on kind of – in rhythm with each other to start with, you know, I mean, and I'll say this about out of bounds plays, that they're always tougher than people think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, basically the guy throwing it inbound, he's got four guys to throw it to. They've actually got five defenders. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not automatic, but you should be able to get it in. And I think, you know, if you know exactly what you're, one option is, and then if that's not there, what's your second option, third option? Just like a quarterback, you know, you've got to kind of know your sequence and of what's open, what's not open. And it certainly appeared to me that for whatever reason, that didn't happen.
Yeah. Jerry Reynolds with us here on Sacktown Sports. You were just talking about getting the ball to some of your scorers down the stretch. Malik Monk, who won the game Friday, as you know, Jerry, last night he played the whole fourth quarter. He only took one shot. Is that a sign of something maybe being a little, to use the basketball term, out of whack?
A little bit, yeah. You know. I mean, now, certainly the team you're playing has something to do with who gets what shots. You know, I mean, they can make it tougher, and certainly Monk is a guy, you know, against Minnesota, he was a true monkster. Yeah. But I mean, he can't. Nobody can get 35 every half,
right.
You know.
Right.
And so, I mean, they were aware, I'm sure, that he's such a key. But having said that, you know, he's a guy that you really, in the fourth quarter, want to be involved almost as much as Fox. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the two guys that can create their own shot. And so if they're not creating their own shot, then maybe help them get shots. Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerry, there has been a lot of, I guess I wouldn't say kickback, it feels like, over the last month or month and a half about, you know, certain intricacies of play calling, timeouts, you know, a few different things that I think most people will coincide with coaching. Because you've done every single thing, like how would you go about some of those, like if, and I guess I'm asking, 2, 3, 4 games in a row, you know, a few things don't go your way as a coach, and maybe you see something being called out upon you. Like, how would you go about responding to that?
Well, I do think that, you know, Coach Brown, I think he just does a terrific job. I think, you know, that he might, certainly in locker room situations, you know, he might have to hurt a few more feelings, you know, to because, and that, not that you're ever going to say anything publicly, but I don't know what goes on in the locker room. But then again, in the timeout situation, I sometimes, now this is just, you know, my opinion, and it probably is wrong, but I see too many voices. You know, to me, when you really in that huddle, in my mind, there needs to be one voice, period. That's the head coach, unless in this case you've got enough coaches where maybe he wants Jay Triano to be the voice. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have 2 or 3 guys trying to talk to different players. That's, you know, in other words, that just, you know, I always kind of got that from Rick Adelman. You know, I mean, he had really great staff, as does Coach Brown. But, I mean, that was just kind of one of those, a little thing, but maybe it's not a little thing.
Interesting. So, Jer, pretty big game against your less than favorite team, the Lakers, tomorrow night all of a sudden, huh? This is a big game.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and it just, oh, I'm scared to death. I mean, they're playing pretty good. And yeah. You know, LeBron, you always got a chance to get beat if LeBron's playing and he's playing well. They're playing better. I mean, they can be beat. I don't think they're as good as a couple other teams in the West, but they're trying to get where the Kings are.
Yeah.
And big game for them. That's part scares me. It's a big game for them.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, it's a big game for the Kings. And a lot of times in years past, it hadn't been a big game for the Lakers. And so, yeah, I just wish them the worst. I don't know how much more I can do.
Joined by the legendary Jerry Reynolds. Legend, do you think the Kings are getting everyone's, I don't want to say best game, because I'm pretty sure teams aren't coming in here, you know, gearing up for the Kings like they're gearing up for the Denver Nuggets, so to say. But I think they're getting close to what some of these teams' best games. Are you seeing that?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think that's part of the problem, I mean, so to speak, because number one is I think teams are better prepared to play the Kings with the style of play that the Kings really were successful with last year. I felt like early in the year you could tell the difference to where the after made baskets, the Kings aren't really getting as many open opportunities where they're able to push and get easy open transition baskets. I think a lot of that's been taken away, or teams really are aware of the fast pace that they want to play with, and they've slowed them down. You know, and if you get the ball stopped and everything and really match up quickly after made baskets, you can slow teams down. And we're seeing more teams doing that, I think, just to their credit. I mean, Boyce said the league scouts and they know how important Domas is to running the offense. And he's getting a lot more attention. Mm-hmm. Especially when he puts the ball down in traffic, they're sending guys at him from different places. So I think it is just the little things. I mean, this team is a good team. I enjoy the heck out of them most of the time. I mean, they're fun. They're a bunch of good guys. But the West is so tough. I think I heard Jay talk earlier. I mean, this team could use a dog. I would agree. I mean, I never thought I'd say we need a Pat Beverly, but maybe we need a Pat Beverly.
Well, I remember earlier this year you said it would be nice if the Kings could get somebody like DeMar DeRozan. They sure could have used him last night.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. I mean, it's, you know, every team has talent, you know, and that's sometimes, I mean, the Bulls certainly with DeRozan, been a many-time All-Star. Kobe White's on his way to being an All-Star level player after a couple of years, and I mean, so if you're not if your main guys aren't having strong games or your bench is not producing, you're open to get beat by anybody. I mean, I think we saw seeing the Spurs and the Pistons beat some teams now. The league. How some young players are at the start of the year aren't necessarily how they are at the end. They're getting better in some cases. In some cases, they're not. But I don't know. I mean, I just think it's a ways to go, but I'm trying to be positive in the fact clearly they're an inconsistent team, and they sometimes let leads. I think they lose leads more than most teams, primarily because they're so dependent on the 3-point shot. Mm-hmm. And nobody hits a hyper, in other words, a good shooting 3-point team is not going to shoot them every 10 minutes stretch. And so you really need, to kind of have a way of getting to the line and getting inside a little more, dribble drives like we see, I think, with the Nuggets and some of those teams or Boston. They shoot a lot of threes, but they will take it to the rim,
Yeah.
So,
Coach, you played basketball, you've coached every level. In your opinion, in your experience, how important is it to make a free throw now and then?
it really doesn't amount to much if you're not interested in lighting up the scoreboard.
I got you.
And they did
last night. They did last night, in all fairness.
Yeah, they did. They did a great – that's one area they did great. But that, as you say, that's been such a bugaboo, and we're terrific shooters. Like Monk has had stretches where he doesn't make them. Mm-hmm. I don't know, have an explanation for that. It's cost them games. Mm-hmm. It's cost them a couple of games. There's no doubt about it. Now, I think it's very possible that this team is – may start winning some games because of free throws. I mean, that's the way this league is. Guys go through periods. Teams go through periods. We saw the Bucks struggled where they weren't very good for a couple of weeks. Now they're really good again. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I just listened to some of the fans' opinions, and I wouldn't disagree with any of those things. Certainly at times they get a little – I think a little full of themselves, with a big lead. You got to be careful about pumping your chest too much, until the game's over. Then you can just puff it out there all you want to.
Joined by the legendary Jerry Riddle.
He's spitting today,
Jack. Yeah, he is. Legend, but what? And I know I'm pretty sure you've probably thrown down your tea or your coffee a couple of times this year, watching the defense play
popcorn,
by the Sacramento Kings, or popcorn.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
By
yeah. Play. Yeah, I really can't eat popcorn because I choke on it sometimes. But and that really is the truth. And I mean, it's no surprise to Coach Brown and his staff. I mean, defensively, it's just not a good team defensively. I think they're working harder at it. I certainly think Fox has improved dramatically, Keegan Murray. So there's been some improvements. But the point is they've improved less defensively than they have lost offensively. And I think probably in the offseason, and I think Whitey and I talked about this a few times, but I think they really counted on Vezinikov really making a difference offensively, just giving them the chance at Duarte to become a better offensive team, and that would make up some for the defensive deficiencies. Well, that would have been true had that turned out that way, which it hasn't.
Yeah.
And so now you've got basically running it back kind of with the same guys, and teams are better prepared for you.
Yeah.
And then add the fact that the West is simply loaded, which they were last year when they were, except all the teams got guys hurt. And so, it's just a different circumstance. I mean, the way I look at it, not probably a little too negative, but I just look at the top four teams in the West, and honestly, I don't, and the Kings have beaten them, but I don't think the Kings are as good as they are.
Yeah.
And they're just not as talented. And, I don't know what you do about that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, I think this is a team that still is a work in progress, and I'm sure Monty McNair knows that, and they really do need, in my opinion, a couple of more pieces. I mean, it's certainly a 4-5 backup guy, athletic backup guy, and a 2-3 wing that can guard two positions and is athletic and, of course, obviously, in both cases, need to be able to shoot the three ball. I mean, spotting the problem and solving it's two different things. And as you pointed out earlier, keeping Monk is a key.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get I think they got a chance to keep him mainly because a lot of teams love him and they'd like, but they don't have cap room.
Yeah.
So that's the best thing going for the Kings. they don't have cap room for the ones that probably really would love to get him.
Jerry Reynolds with us, of course. I'm wondering if you could speak to this, if you would, as from the eyes of someone who was a head coach. The team, they've had ups and downs. And so, you know, the coach he's criticized. And people have been criticizing, like last night, you have to double those guys. And it was similar with the Heat game where Mike Brown, after both games, he said, and he was trying not to, you know, he didn't want to throw anybody under the bus. He's basically saying, we can't double like three guys, you know, because then you're running all over the place. But given the issues they've had keeping the ball out of the paint, I mean, that's really where the defense is breaking down, right? And you can't send extra guys at like three different guys, or you just don't have enough players to do that.
No, that really, to me, is exactly it. And I, you know, Coach Brown's right. I mean, you might could double run a second guy at one guy and then rotate and cover it, but you can't do two. And that's why the problem the Kings had last night, I mean, they had two guys that they couldn't defend and they couldn't afford to double both of them.
And then you had that Ayo Dosunmu, too, and he was just going right around people.
And he was breaking them down. But I do think, in simplified terms, your biggest problem is, like say, just defending the wings and stopping the drives to the basket. They're just getting in there too much. I think, you know, the Kings playing a zone some and trapping more. I think they're trying to do some things that could eventually help them get a little better. And that's all you can hope for at this stage, get a little better. But that's kind of where it starts. You know, I mean, if you're not gonna score, at the premium rate, then and you can't guard people, you're gonna have bad games, and that's kind of where it is. You know, your offense is going great in third quarter, and you're knocking down shots and getting dunks, and looks like wow, and then all of a sudden, your shots don't go down, and and they're getting exactly the shots they want, and that's how games. I'm like about everybody else, you know. I haven't said that. If they go down there and beat the Lakers, then I'll give them a pass on everything they've ever done.
I wanted to ask about this, Jared. Last night, a piece of Kings history in a way was made, and you're the perfect person to put this in perspective for us. Harrison Barnes, according to Sean Cunningham, HB now the seventh player in the Kings era, Sacramento era, to appear in 200 consecutive games. So it's Eddie Johnson, Buddy Hield, LaSalle Thompson, Otis Thorpe, Jason Thompson, and Ben McLemore. Mm. Those are the seven guys now, 200 consecutive games as Sacramento Kings. Any thoughts on any of those guys? Or what kind of team would those seven guys make? Huh? What kind of team would that be? HB, Eddie, Buddy Hield, Tank, Otis Thorpe, Jason Thompson, and Ben McLemore.
Well, you wouldn't have to measure for a ring, I can tell you that.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, I'd get some rebounds, though, wouldn't I?
Well, Tank would get you some rebounds, and Thorpe certainly would. And so rebounding wouldn't be a problem, and you got shooters, Eddie Johnson. And so that, I don't know just exactly where you'd play McLemore or Jason Thompson. But it is amazing in this day and age, in fairness to Harrison. I mean, he has been such a durable guy in a league that isn't very durable, if you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's one of those guys that, is a good player, maybe just not as good as you want him to be, but he's had a good career, and but yeah, he's available, you know, and that's still a key thing. I think that's the amazing thing with Domas and Keegan Murray and Monk. They've been there,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, and can't take that for granted. But yeah, that yeah. Well, of course, part of the way of staying basically being durable is not playing very many minutes every night.
Yeah.
So that may be part of it too, you know.
Hey, didn't you when you were coaching Tank? Didn't you try to run a play for him and he couldn't remember how it went or something?
Yeah, well, it's one of those deals early in the years, I recall, and of course we had lots more set plays in those days, and a lot for Reggie and Eddie and guys like that. And Tank got his feelings hurt one time and was saying, you know, what, you ever have a play for me? So we put one in. We're getting ready to play the Pacers, and our pregame thing, our shoot around, was pretty much going to put a play in for Tank. And so we put it in, called it Texas, because that's where he went to school.
Uh-huh.
And so about the first time down the floor or something, we called Texas, and Tank screwed it up. And so we, a little later, next time down, we ran it again and called Texas, and we screwed it up again. So I just called timeout. And you know, of course, guys were busting his chops, but I didn't say anything, really. Anyway, and Tank said, you know, bless his heart, one of the nicest guys who ever lived, said, I don't want any plays. Don't call any plays for me anymore.
Jerry Reynolds, yeah.
And so I and said,
did
okay.
You? Yeah. You didn't run any more plays for Tank after that?
Nope. No. Bless his heart. He didn't need them, though. I'll say that for Tank. You know, he was a little bit like Domas. He's gonna get his double-doubles the hard way.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Jerry. Great stuff. Here, we were kidding. We said, oh, maybe Jerry can explain everything, and you pretty much did. So thank you. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
Well, if I made sense, then you're all in trouble.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, see you guys.
All right, take care. Beat the Lakers. Jerry doesn't like the Lakers. Coming up, we've got, here you go, 3 reasons Kings fans can still be optimistic. I only have 2 right now, but I still have time to come up with a third before
The third is Jerry Reynolds.
Yeah,
how about
there
that?
You go. It's a Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.